Our guest today feels God is sending final warnings. Isn't that what a merciful God would do? That's next.
Even amongst the non-Christians, there is this sense that something has to happen. Something has to give. And my sense is that it's that rubber band that has been stretched too long and too far. And when it snaps, it will be sudden. And when it's sudden, it will bring what I believe the Bible refers to as that sudden destruction.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan meets this hour with one of her conference speakers, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii. J.D. Farag will be appearing next month at the Understanding the Times Conference, scheduled October 7th in the Twin Cities. Pastor Farag has an enormous following for his YouTube channel Prophecy Updates. J.D. has his finger on the pulse of current events as they relate to Bible prophecy. Let's begin our conversation right now. Here is Jan Markell.
As I sought the Lord concerning what He would have me to talk about for today's prophecy update, He impressed upon my heart just how serious that which is taking place in the world today is, the seriousness of what is happening geopolitically, specifically concerning Israel. And I'll add to that as well the United States. And this in the sense that it really doesn't seem that things can continue on in their present state. To me, it does seem like something has to give, and sooner rather than later.
And welcome to the program. My guest says that even the secular world senses that something is about to break in the world and in America, that we are reaching the proverbial, point of no return. Pastor J.D. Farag is pastor of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii. He's one of my speakers, Understanding the Times 2017, Saturday, October 7th, near Minneapolis. We'll say more about that later. And welcome back, Pastor J.D. Farag.
Thank you again for having me.
Yeah. Now, I just played a clip from one of your more recent updates, prophecy updates, and you suggested, folks just heard it, that just like the proverbial, you said in your update that I'm referring to the proverbial rubber band that has been stretched too much, it is about to snap, and you liken that to situations in the world that are going to cause a snapping as well, and probably things that are not going to snap in a good way. Can you elaborate just a little bit?
Yes, sure. So I had heard this rubber band illustration in a different context and thought that it was appropriate in its description and illustration of where the world is at right now. You can only stretch that rubber band, as it were, so far and for so long, and at some point something has to give. And this sense is not just within Christian circles. Certainly there is that, but when I was in New York recently, I had occasion to talk with non-Christians and New Yorkers there, one of which was a Muslim. And even amongst the non-Christians, there is this sense that something has to happen. Something has to give. And my sense is that it's that rubber band that has been stretched heretofore too long and too far, and it's just a matter of time before it snaps. And when it snaps, it will be sudden. And when it's sudden, it will bring what I believe the Bible refers to as that sudden destruction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you're referring to sudden destruction from 1 Thessalonians, correct?
Yes, and the reason I am is because both the Savior himself and then subsequently the Apostle Paul after him repeatedly use this analogy of a woman travailing in labor. And what's interesting to me about that analogy is that once those birth pains begin, there's no stopping it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no going back, if you will. And I shared on Sunday that in the prophecy update, you know, I was there for all four of my children's birth. And once those birth pangs began, it was just a matter of time before that baby was coming. And so too, can we be certain that just as the birth pains have begun, there's no stopping it. And, you know, humorously, there's no way the doctor or the nurses are going to say, hey, it's, you know, time for our lunch break. And so we're going to go ahead and stop this process and we'll resume, you know, sometime later at a more convenient time. That's not going to happen.
No, I don't want to leave this subject right here, but I'm referring here to something I saw online that I think ties in with what we're talking about. And it's a quote from Ann Graham Lotz. I had Ann as one of my speakers last fall, last October, Understanding the Times 2016, and I saw a comment from her online that she's warning of dark times and disunity, which is pretty obvious here. And she says it's, I'm quoting her a couple of places, it's time to humble ourselves and pray. She says that obviously America is seriously divided. She's keeping her comments focused heavily on America. And by the way, she's devoting a lot of time right now to warning America about pending judgment. She went on to say in this article, the atmosphere is explosive, toxic, dark, dangerous to the extreme, and at this very moment when our nation should be standing together against wickedness and lawlessness, we are seriously divided. And she went on to say, it's time to inquire of the Lord now. It's time to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways so that he could heal our land. But in the context of this discussion, J.D. Farag, you have slipped in a sentence or two suggesting that this is actually a final warning. What do you mean by that?
So after September 11th in 2001, I had asked myself this question. God, are you in your mercy going to warn this nation again in a significant way prior to the rapture? Because you're a merciful God. You know, throughout the Old Testament, many men and even women of God were oftentimes reminding God of his mercy. I think of David in the Psalms, I think it's 119, verse 49. He says, remember your word to your servant, for it has given me hope. So the question is, Lord, are you going to warn this nation again because you're a merciful God prior to the rapture? And I believe that while it may not be on the scale of a 9/11, which was just a very pronounced warning, I believe that we are witnessing, in fact, today, what I believe are final warnings, and it's just a matter of time again.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Hawaii Pastor J.D. Farag. He's one of my speakers, Understanding the Times 2017, along with Amir Safadi, Michelle Bachman, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. And we're talking about some current things going on, some final warnings, some quotes from some folks that I do appreciate, and when they say certain things, I pay a whole lot of attention. Pastor J.D., final warnings. 2.5 weeks ago, we had a tragedy which some are saying is unparalleled in the history of America, and that it would, of course, be the fallout from Hurricane Harvey. Do you see that perhaps slipping in here somehow as a warning, or is that just another birth pang?
I think it's all of the above. The birth pangs, if you think about it, are the warnings of what is imminent, and that is the coming of the birth of the baby, which is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture of the church. This is a warning, and to me, it is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome, recorded in chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, where he says, do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Why? Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And very interesting, he says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness. We are in, I believe, the darkest times we have ever been in recent memory. And he says, put on the armor of light. And this is to the church. He says, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Interesting, dissension, division. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh.
I want to play a soundbite here. Actually, Amir Sarfati, one of my speakers also on October 7th, was hoping to join us today, getting Hawaii time and Israeli time and Minneapolis-St. Paul time all coordinated was a challenge. And we heard from Amir last weekend with his 2016 message. But I want to play almost a two-minute clip of him, and then I'll come back and discuss it with you.
So we have established that we indeed live in the last hour of the last days, and we live in the world that is clearly in a state of decay. You must agree with me. Look around you. It's in a state of decay in so many different areas, morally, spiritually, physically. The world can smell a soon collapse. That collapse that I'm talking about, and I'm not here to scare you, by the way. Bible prophecy is not to scare, but it's to prepare. You must get it. And so the world is coming soon to a state of collapse in so many different areas. When Jesus described the list of things that we should look for, he said, okay, there will be wars and rumors of wars. And then he said, there will be nation that is going to rise against. Well, by the way, the word in the Greek is ethnos. Not necessarily country against country, but ethnic group against an ethnic group. And what we see today, within countries, people are fighting within Iraq, within Iran, within Syria, within Sudan, within Libya. They're all fighting each other, and it doesn't necessarily have to be country against country. And then he said there will be earthquakes and famines and pestilences. He gave us a long list. And the soon collapse is not in just one level. There's going to be a financial collapse, a physical collapse, a political one, and of course a spiritual one. We can see that. Right now, we can see that the world has a vacuum of leadership. There's no leader. And when there's no leader, the mice come out of their holes. And you see all that is going on in the Middle East, in other parts of the world, much of it is a result of lack of leadership.
Okay, so part of what Amir is talking about there is going to obviously blossom in the tribulation. We've got the total collapse of everything in the tribulation and one man coming on the scene to make it better. But he's referring to the lack of a leader. Now, I've got to go back to the previous administration where America definitely stepped out of the picture. We did not lead for 8 years. I think we have someone now who's trying to be a leader, but nonetheless, the point of that clip was the world is going to long for a leader, particularly as things begin to deteriorate, and I think you and I are both seeing that kind of on the horizon, correct?
Yes, and going back to the birth pains, mm-hmm. which you cannot stop once they commence, Paul says that it will be as a woman travailing in labor, and sudden destruction will come upon them. There's a delineation in his first epistle to the Thessalonica church, mm-hmm. that there's the they and the we. So in other words, they will not escape. We will escape. Why? Because we who are alive and remain will be caught up. So the question becomes, is this a simultaneous event? In other words, when, not if, when the sudden destruction comes, will it be simultaneous that they don't escape and we do? In other words, that's the rapture.
Yeah, you're right, that's the rapture. And actually, you're speaking on that on October the 7th, why the rapture can happen at any time. And of course, you're a strong believer, as am I, in the pre-trib rapture. And you're also a strong believer, as am I, that there is a literal satanic attack against that pre-trib rapture, which honestly didn't exist, I don't think, 30 years ago, but it's come about here in the more recent years, and that's kind of another topic. Okay, I want to be sure to hit some other things too, J.D., but again, I want to go back just a little bit to that soundbite we just heard, because again, there's that longing for a leader, And I do think that the world is looking, it's going to be looking eventually for a single man with a plan who can solve just about everything, a Mr. Fix-It. And I think we're seeing that longing intensify more and more every day.
Yes, and here's a, for lack of a better way of saying it, here's a plausible scenario. So said sudden destruction comes. And wouldn't it stand to reason that when it does, and everything just happens in that instant, there's a crash of sorts on a global scale, would that not then usher in this man?
Yes.
Who then has all the answers? But doesn't it have to, again, doesn't it stand to reason, as a plausible scenario, that it would have to happen on the heels of something just globally catastrophic, i.e., the collapse of the United States of America. Mm.
The other thing, and you've been talking about a lot of things, and folks, let me just quickly recommend the weekly prophecy update that Pastor J.D. Farag gives every Sunday. You find it on YouTube. You just look under his name, J.D. Farag, under YouTube, and they're outstanding. They're weekly updates about some of the things that have happened in the previous week. I would never miss it. Very short, usually about a half an hour, approximately. And J.D., I mean, one of the things that I've noticed is that right now, because the media is focused on certain things, some of them majoring in minors, certainly been focusing on Hurricane Harvey, which is not a major and a minor. That is one of the most tragic events I think that Americans have ever seen, preceded only by 9/11, Katrina and a few others, but this one has just been shocking. But other than that, we're focusing on, you know, America's monuments and Antifa and some of these things that are kind of silly. And that is covering up some of these serious events that are going on in the world and sort of the stage setting that's probably preparing to happen here in the coming months to a few years. And you've actually been talking about some of those things. And I think where I'd like to go here in segment number two is some of the things that you and I feel are on the horizon and why we feel they're on the horizon. For one thing, we've got Isaiah 17, which is on the verge of happening, I think, and we can explain why. We've got Gog Magog on the verge of happening. We can explain why. We've got Iran absolutely increasing their intensity and activity in Syria, and Israel's going to have to act one of these days and do something about that. So I'd like us to get into that in just a couple of minutes, and folks, don't go away. I'm coming right back.
In today's world, who do you trust for good insight on current events? For that matter, who do you trust for good Bible commentary? America is full of fake news and false teaching. That's why we want to offer you an alternative to both. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, and our main objective is to tell you the truth about current events as they relate to a biblical worldview. Join us each week on this station for a source you can trust.
Don't forget, you can come meet and hear Pastor J.D. Farag in person next month at our Eden Prairie, Minnesota conference. On October 7th, J.D. will be joined by Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Michelle Bachman, and Amir Sarfati for that weekend event at Grace Church. To order your own audio recording of today's broadcast featuring J.D. Farag, just phone 763-559-4444. Every weekend, we bring you the best communicators who filter today's news through the pages of the Bible. We invite your faithful and generous partnership to help us keep this kind of programming on the air and on the internet. You can join our family of investors who feel this kind of ministry is critical for times like these. We welcome your financial contribution to this listener-supported program when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also give securely at our website, olivetreeviews.org. Jan returns with J.D. Farag right after this. We're now just weeks away from Understanding the Times 2017, Saturday, October 7, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. no registration needed, and there is no conference fee to attend. Consider joining thousands from across America for this annual event of like-minded believers as we focus on current events and anticipate what the Bible calls our blessed hope. Speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Everything is different, and it's amazing because the world is on the brink of something big. And I'm not saying that. You watch your news, you read your newspapers, and you'll see it yourself.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
And God has also set forth for us some of the signs or the things we can look for as we approach the end times. And the Bible tells us that there are discernible signs of the times that are going to portend the Lord's coming.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
By the way, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, the word church is mentioned 19 times. And you don't find the word church mentioned again from chapter 4, verse 1 on through the rest of the book.
And Michelle Bachman.
We are in your face with jihad. We are in your face in that we are going to conquer you, and our values will prevail, Islamic values, not your values. That's what we need to understand. They are literally at war against the West.
Be sure to make hotel reservations soon as they fill up early. We're looking forward to meeting you Saturday, October 7th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Call us for more details, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or just visit the conference page at our website, olivetreeviews.org. See you on October 7th. We live in unprecedented times, and we'll help you understand them.
The times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child.
Frankly, and you and I have discussed this before, the rapture should be one of the primary issues on the minds of Christians. Instead, it's hardly given a thought, and it's partly because the pulpits are hardly giving it a thought as well, which is really tragic.
Which I really believe that Isaiah 17 is the catalyst for Ezekiel 38. So when you see how close Isaiah 17 is, then you can also know just how close Ezekiel 38 is.
On Understanding the Times Radio today, Pastor J.D. Farag from Kaneohe, Hawaii. Come hear Pastor Farag in person at next month's Understanding the Times Conference, October 7. Once again, Jan Markell.
In pursuit of peace, our vision is one of peace, security, and prosperity that will protect the safety of our people and enhance the security of our wonderful friends and allies. Security. Safe the security. Security with security. To advance security, and our first priority is always the safety and security. As the beginning of peace and security disaster in this region, peaceful societies will become engulfed by violence. But the path to peace begins right here in common security. Above all, America seeks peace, not war, to regional security. Continue to enhance security. Then peace in this world is possible, including peace between Israelis and Palestinians, for peace and yearns for peace. These are the blessings of prosperity and peace.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, talking for the hour with Pastor J.D. Farag. Many of you watch his weekly updates on YouTube, Prophecy Updates. One of my speakers, Understanding the Times, 2017, this forthcoming October the 7th, now just a few weeks away. And we have been talking for the first segment about some issues that I think are in the news. I want to head, Pastor Farag, to some more issues that I think you and I feel are going to be in the news maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but possibly very, very soon. And I have heard you say that you feel Isaiah 17, which is a strike against Damascus, probably by Israel, is on the cusp of happening. Damascus is going to be left uninhabitable. I think you and I feel that could happen very soon with some of their weapons of mass destruction underground. Talk to me a little bit about that.
So it is my belief, and I've long held to the belief that, again, when, not if, this happens, specifically speaking of prophecies such as Isaiah 17 and Ezekiel 38, that when, not if, they happen, it will set in motion, because of the unstoppable momentum, other prophecies that will then be fulfilled. So here's an example. And again, this is a plausible scenario that really makes sense. So let's say that Netanyahu's red line gets crossed, which he reiterated very specifically to Putin in his recent meeting, not to ask for permission, but rather to warn them of what they will do. So if a red line is crossed concerning Syria, then Israel will react and respond very decisively and even immediately. Now, let's say that they do, and then Isaiah 17 happens. Again, it would stand to reason that that would set in motion other prophecies like Ezekiel 38, which I really believe that Isaiah 17 is the catalyst for Ezekiel 38. So when you see how close Isaiah 17 is, then you can also know just how close Ezekiel 38 is.
True. And Isaiah 17, I mean, I think that a lot of Saddam Hussein's weapons from back in 2003 and 4 were exported to Damascus, and that's probably where they're being stored. Israel knows that. Look, we've got Iran getting more and more involved, and Pastor Jack Hibbs and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago on air, more and more involved in the Middle East, more and more involved in Syria. I just read a headline the other day where Iran is threatening to come all the way to the border of Israel, the northern border there. Israel is not going to sit around and let this happen, whether or not she just does some limited action or whether or not she's got to go all the way to Damascus. I think it could happen any day and then set off some sort of a firestorm.
Yes, exactly. And again, ties into this notion of sudden destruction. Mm-hmm. In other words, when that rubber band snaps, that's it.
Yes.
That's it. The birth pains were the warnings, and they were coming in greater frequency and with greater intensity. And you'll forgive the metaphor, but I really believe the world is virtually dilated at a 10, and it's just a matter of time.
Okay. Well, again, and I heard you refer to the reason the Iran deal was such a disaster is I think you feel that nuclear weapons are going to be used in the Gog-Magog battle, correct?
I do believe that on the basis of the 39th chapter
of
Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm. Which was just one of the reasons why, you know, when that nuclear deal went through in 2014 and 15, most of us were cringing. I mean, personally, I think that's the most disastrous thing that happened under the Obama administration, and I'm troubled that there aren't some efforts to somehow repeal that, and maybe that's down the road. I don't know.
I sure hope so. But I don't believe that it will. And the reason I say that is because God allowed that to happen. Because God, who knows the end from the beginning, knew and foretold that this is exactly what would happen at the time of the end. And it is happening. And that has happened. And again, now I know I am repeating myself, but it's just a matter of time. And God, in his mercy and grace, has been giving all of these warning signs of just how close we are.
And some of these events that we're talking about happen perhaps before the rapture, some happen after the rapture of the church. And frankly, and you and I have discussed this before, the rapture should be one of the primary issues on the minds of Christians. Instead, it's hardly given a thought, and it's partly because the pulpits are hardly giving it a thought as well, which is really tragic because that's possibly something that's going to launch a lot of what we're talking about, or some of these things can happen before that as well. G.D. Farag, and that's who I'm talking to for the hour. He is pastor of Calvary Chapel in Kaneohe, Hawaii. I've had him on before. One of my speakers coming up October the 7th, along with Amir Sarfati, Michelle Bachman, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. We promise to help you understand the times, contend for the faith, become watchmen on the wall. There's no charge. There's no registration needed. You do need to arrive a little bit early. The program starts at 9 a.m. Suggest you come no later than about 8:15 in order to get a seat. The venue holds 4,300 people, but people come from across the country, so we do want you to be able to get in and get a good seat. And we do have some overflow seating arranged for this year. J.D. Farag, I recently saw a headline. It was in the Washington Post, and I had to do a double take. You know, in that it's so late in the hour, why am I surprised this actually transpired? And this was an article posted in the Washington Post. And it literally, even in the headline, it cheered Satan and it jeered Christians. Satan was cheered, Christians were made fun of. In the article, the Washington Post praised the secular values of Satan. They had sympathy for the devil as a champion of what they called modern culture, science, and secular values. Now, you and I knew that there'd be a day when evil would be called good and good would be called evil, but to have a major publishing organ in the United States of America praising Satan and making fun of Christians, I didn't think I'd live to see it.
This is all part of the plan, and I'll explain what I mean by that. We're told by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesian church, chapter 6, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers of darkness, and he delineates between four spiritual entities in high places. I see this as part of Satan's plan to bring division. It reminds me of a rather intense and chaotic account of a very demonic situation, really, that was recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, the 12th chapter. Jesus is being accused of being Beelzebul. I mean, here's God incarnate being called evil, the incarnation of good, all that is good being called evil, as Isaiah says, as you refer to. So he's accused of being Beelzebul, the prince of demons, and they're accusing him because of that as that being the source of how he's able to cast out demons. So we're told that Jesus knew their thoughts. In other words, they didn't vocalize this, but he read their minds. And this is what he says to them. Very interesting. He says, every kingdom divided against itself will fall or be ruined, destroyed, if you will. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. In other words, united we stand, but divided we fall. And I would venture to say, and this is hard, but it is, I believe, the reality today, that this division is not just to, from within, bring down this nation, but Satan has been met with a measure of success bringing said division into the church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church outwardly. Jesus, in one of the letters to the churches in Revelation, said that Balaam actually succeeded not from without in bringing curse upon Israelites, but from within. He brought the curse upon themselves. How? By seducing them with the Moabite women. So here we are now. And from within, there's this division. And this division is being met, this satanic division is being met with a measure of success. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said, do not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Well, what is Satan's device? Well, I think one of his most powerful tools is to divide and destroy. we're told that Satan cannot, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church outwardly. However, there's certainly the possibility that there's a division that is brought inwardly. It's really interesting in Revelation chapter 2, the letter to the church in Pergamos or Pergamum, and Jesus says to them, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality." Well, how did he succeed in bringing this curse, this destruction, this division into the camps of the Israelites? Well, he did it from within, by getting these women to seduce the Israelite men. It wasn't from without. He brought this curse upon them, which he could never do outwardly. It was done inwardly in that way. And I would venture to say that this is the success that Satan is being met with now within not just this nation, but within the Church of Jesus Christ today.
J.D., of course, you're in the Calvary Chapel stream, and a lot of Calvary Chapels remain with an interest in eschatology, end time issues, looking at current events and trying to tie them together a little bit with what's going on in the world and then in the Bible as well. However, you know, that is now the exception, not the rule. Perhaps that's just a tool of the enemy as well to get people focused off of things that are so vitally important right now. I find it very heartbreaking.
I can't really even begin to tell you how grieved my heart is because of this. But again, it's, I believe, this division that has been brought into a movement that really has been mightily used of God. You know, I've always believed that you should never worry when the enemy attacks, because the only time the enemy is going to attack is when you pose a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And it's when the enemy leaves you alone that you should really worry. You're a threat to his kingdom of darkness. And so the enemy is going to attack, and even we're seeing it in the recording of this broadcast. Satan hates any mention of the return of Jesus Christ at the time of the end, because that is his end.
That's his end, exactly. That's his end, yes. But I spent the summer Sunday evenings teaching a class on some of the topics you and I are talking about, and folks came from far and wide. We had about 500 in attendance on Sunday night. But Pastor J.D. Farag, what most folks said is they're there because, again, their church is silent on these issues, and they really want to be up to speed on what's going on both in the world and how it ties in with what the Bible foretold would happen. The birth pangs that are going off, well, I mean, almost nonstop these days. So there is the hunger there, and that's why we have quite a few folks turning out to hear you on October the 7th, along with Imer Safadi, Michelle Bachman, and Dr. Mark Hitchcock. And Pastor J.D. will be talking about why the rapture can happen at any time. J.D., when I get back, here's where I'd like to go in our closing segment, because you shared something. You shared it both on your update, this would have been a couple of weeks ago, and then we kind of talked about it a little bit on the telephone the other day. And I think there's been a historic con job that's gone on, started with Yasser Arafat back in the 60s, and that is he invented the Palestinian people. And what I find so interesting is that you were told that you were a Palestinian. Well, since there really isn't such a thing as a Palestinian, I think you need to clarify exactly what happened to you and just how did you come to see the truth. You came to America, I think you were a few months old, correct?
Yes, nine months old.
Yeah, and you came from Lebanon, is that right?
Yeah, actually, we at that time were in Beirut, Lebanon, where I was born. Mm-hmm. And this was in 1963.
Yeah, but this con job that much of the world and now the church believes there's such a thing as a Palestinian people. In fact, Israel has come in and occupied their land, which again is blatantly untruth. But I'd like to hear it from your perspective, as I've heard you talk about it on your updates and in some of your messages. Folks, I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. Again, if you'd mark your calendar for Saturday, October 7th, now just a few weeks away. Again, encourage you to come on out a little bit early because we have quite a turnout. And we don't want to turn anyone away. So if you come out a little bit early, that'll guarantee you a seat at Grace Church. That's Eden Prairie, Minnesota. That's just outside of Minneapolis. This will be about our 21st conference. And some years we had two, so it goes back to about 2002. And Amir Safadi, Michelle Bachman, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, and my guest for this hour, Pastor J.D. Farag, coming back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. And folks, this ministry has written a little end time study guide, Are We Living in the Last Days? For your neighborhood group in your church interested in these topics, you can cover it in 12 weeks. It's got built-in questions in the study guide. Check it out in my store, olivetreeviews.org. It's in all of my newsletters, print and e-newsletters, or give my office a call. It's $9 for one copy. You can get 10 copies for $60. And those who have an interest in this topic, you can just have a 12-week study, and it's not detailed, it's not complicated.
In just a moment, Jan will wrap up her discussion with Pastor J.D. Farag. First, a quick reminder. Our website is our connection to you throughout the week. At olivetreeviews.org, you'll find current and past broadcasts archived there. News headlines are posted daily at olivetreeviews.org as well. On Facebook at Jan Markell, Olive Tree Ministries, you can follow and catch up on daily posts to keep you current with a biblical worldview. Again, visit us online at olivetreeviews.org. We invite your tax-deductible gifts online or when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. For assistance in ordering products or to request a recorded copy of today's program, call 763-559-4444. Jan returns in just a moment with J.D. Farag.
Thanks to all of you who either pray or financially support this radio outreach. If you appreciate the inconvenient truth coming to your neighborhood, would you think about a one-time tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries? We have served the Christian community across North America and the world for 16 years. This ministry and radio outreach are committed to bringing you news and information you won't find many places. We are also committed to bringing you the good news that Jesus Christ is in charge of a decaying world and He offers a lifeline of hope to everyone who calls on His name. You can give online at olivetreeviews.org or you can call 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or drop us a note, Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. We have a message about today and tomorrow because the King is coming back. We just want you to be ready and to know where you will spend eternity. This is Jan Markell, and in a day when everything is being redefined, our goal is to bring the truth of the Bible into focus without compromise and without redefinition. Thank you for standing with us by listening every week.
Once again, here with the conclusion to today's Understanding the Times broadcast, Jan Markell with Pastor J.D. Farag.
And welcome back. Let me just say quickly here that you can become a CD subscriber of this program. You need to call us on that. That's just $15 a month. We have to use a credit card for that, so give us a call. The programming is posted to my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, every Saturday morning. We air on now close to 840 radio stations around the country. and electronically around the world. I encourage you to visit our Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries, and also on Twitter at Olive Tree Men. Sign up for my print and e-newsletter. That's how I keep in touch with you, keep you up to date, as well as olivetreeviews.org. If you send in a gift and you're a radio listener, would you always tell us what station you're listening to so we can credit that properly? I've made reference off and on here in this hour to Pastor J.D. Farag's Prophecy Update. Find that on YouTube, and you just type in Pastor Farag's name, J.D. Farag, F-A-R-A-G. It's every Sunday that he does an update, posts it to YouTube, and many of us would never miss his updates as they're very cutting edge, tapping into some current events and how they tie into the Bible. And J.D., I kind of gave a tease last segment indicating that you were told you were a Palestinian. That's not exactly true. Why don't you explain why?
Well, growing up in a home with an Egyptian father and a so-called Palestinian mother, whose mom actually was born and raised in Nazareth pre-statehood, pre-1948, it was actually in the early 70s as a teenager when we began sponsoring in our Arab family to the United States to immigrate legally. I'll underscore and highlight legally. And this was after the Six-Day War in 1967. But this was the first clue, for lack of a better word, as to what I believe and refer to as the Palestinian lie is a lie. Mm-hmm. They left of their own volition. They were not forced out. My mother's father, my grandfather, moved to Jordan of his own volition.
Okay.
So growing up, I grew up in a home, not a Muslim home. I was never raised as a Muslim. My parents were Christian by name. However, they at best were duped by the lie of replacement theology,
yes, uh-huh,
that the church replaces Israel as God's people. So as I got older, and then when I came to the Lord at age 19 and started reading my Bible, and I read it for the first time from Genesis to Revelation, took me about 6 months as a new believer, I began to notice that there were some inconsistencies. So my parents, who were alive at the time, I would ask them questions, and they would always reiterate this lie that Israel is occupying land belonging to the quote-unquote Palestinians. Now, here I am all these years later, and as I've come to the truth, and like Paul writing to the Thessalonians says, that those that refuse to love the truth, and the reason that they didn't love the truth is the very reason that they embraced this lie. And so I've heard it said this way: when you reject the truth, you open yourself up to every lie, and really any lie. Now, why is the Palestinian lie a lie? Because if there's a Palestinian, then that means there needs to be a Palestine.
Right.
And if there's a Palestine, then that means that there cannot be an Israel.
That's right.
This is why, again, I keep referring to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 9. Paul says the coming of the lawless one, interesting, the lawless one, will be in accordance with how Satan works. This is why this is Satan's work that is being met with this measure of success. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders. And here's what's so interesting. He says that these displays of power are to serve not a lie, the lie.
That's right.
The lie. What's the lie? The lie is that there's such a thing as a Palestinian and Jews living side by side in peace and security. That's the lie to me, because everything centers on it. Even when Iran starts chanting death to America and death to Israel, it's always under the umbrella of the Palestinian lie. just on Sunday, I quoted an article, I think it was Arut Sheva, where this general says Israel won't exist in 25
That's
years.
Right.
It's even been, I think, the Ayatollah Khamenei, who also said something to that effect. Some say Israel won't be around in 10 years. They won't exist in 10 years. They always package that with the Palestinian lie.
That's right. But Yasser Arafat did such an incredible job of selling this back in the 1960s. Not only did he convince many, many world leaders that indeed there were displaced Palestinians, he convinced many church denominations that they had to swing their allegiance from being pro-Israel to being pro-Palestinian. Then he succeeded. It took time, but he succeeded.
So you'll forgive the comparison,
mm-hmm.
but Yasser Arafat is a Hitler. Hitler's final solution has become the Palestinian two-state solution repackaged. When Arafat was here with then President Bill Clinton, and he would, you know, say we want peace with Israel, he would go back to Ramallah in Arabic and say peace for us means the destruction of Israel. This is actually Muhammad and Saladin after him.
Mm-hmm.
This is Islam. Make peace with your enemy, then destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
This is the MO, the modus operandi. This is how they work. Make peace with them, then destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Arafat would say peace for us means the destruction of Israel.
Yeah. And land for peace leaves Israel in pieces. And I think Benjamin Netanyahu is not inclined to do much more division of the land. He's, of course, getting pressure to do that 24/7. And I think we have a current administration in Washington that's perhaps applying less pressure than some previous administrations. I want to transition just a little bit here. I'm talking to Pastor J.D. Farag here for the hour. He's one of my guests now, just a few weeks out, Saturday, October the 7th, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. That's just outside of Minneapolis, for our 21st Understanding the Times Conference, along with Amir Sarfati, Michelle Bachman, and Dr. Mark Hitchcock. And we will help you understand the times and become watchmen on the wall. But J.D., we have watched over the last couple of weeks a tragic situation. It's a situation that caught a lot of Americans off guard, not even suggesting that officials in the state of Texas or Louisiana were unprepared. I think what hit them is something we have a hard time understanding, the fury that came with Hurricane Harvey. It's going to take years to rebuild parts of that part of the country. More important than that, J.D. Farag, is many hearts were spiritually unprepared for what happened back in late August. And it's going to go on now for who knows how many weeks, months, and they say even years, which is staggering to consider years. But what I wanted to go out of this program, I don't want anybody to be listening to this program and not be prepared. Should a Harvey hit their hometown, it may not be a hurricane, it might be something else. Who knows? A tornado, fire, we don't know. And you do such an effective job every week with your simple plan of salvation that you offer. You could sum up for us and offer that plan of salvation?
I would love to. I've been in recent months, because of the urgency and the lateness of the hour, sharing what's known as the ABCs of salvation. And it's very simple, and it's childlike simple. And it's just the acronym ABC. And the A is for admit or acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were all born sinners, which is why we must be born again, Jesus said, to enter the kingdom of heaven. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but, and here's the good news, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So how do I receive that gift? Oh, believe, the B, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God raised him from the dead. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might, you should, not you could. No, you will if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then the C, call or confess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth. Romans 10, 9 and 10 also says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And here's why, verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And then one of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Romans 10:13, which says that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I would implore anyone listening, if you've never called upon the Lord, if you're unsure, I implore you today to call upon the name of the Lord before it's too late.
J.D. Farag, I want to thank you for sharing with me this particular hour. Again, come on out Saturday, October the 7th. We'll look at a lot of current issues. We'll look at some issues that pertain to the lateness of the hour. Pastor Farag's message, why the rapture can happen at any time, and indeed it can. I want to thank you for joining me. I want to thank you for listening, folks. We will talk to you next week.
Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor.
Thanks for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every week, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it cost us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this program each weekend, would you consider becoming a partner with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour of discussion to point out the dangers in today's culture and to bring hope through faith in Jesus Christ. Please consider joining us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Just write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also give online at olivetreeviews.org or when you phone 763-559-4444. 24 hours a day, global updates with a biblical worldview are available at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon, and we appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her team. Jan Markell returns next week with another program designed to help you understand the times.